Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first wave, second chapter, and discussing different limbs of devotion. And this is number 40, Srimurti Sparshanam. It's a quotation from Vishnu Dharmottara. Srishtva Vishnu Ardhishtanam Pavitra Sharyanvita Papa Bhandir Vinirmukta Saravan Kaman Avapnayat. The pure, faithful person who touches the deity of Vishnu becomes freed from the bondage of sin and attains all desires. So this is showing the efficacy of deity worship, those pujaris. Obviously they're somewhat pavitram. Oma pavitra pavitrava savavastam gatopiva. Yaksmirt Pundarikaksham Sabha Yavyantara Suchi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Before one receives Brahman Diksha, then there's some purification required. Bhaktivinoda describes it as a pancha sanskaras, that one is given tilak by the guru and a name and engages in some type of yajna. Generally, there's a testing period. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says that the spiritual master should examine and test the disciple for a minimum of 1 year and preferably 3 years. Respective disciples should live with the guru for 3 years and hear Harikata and render service. Samit Pani Shoti and Brahmanishtam. He should Samit Pani, Pani means hands, and he should carry, he should use his hands to engage in humble service to please the spiritual master. Samit Pani. He should go and collect firewood for the fire yajna that the guru engages in. And then he becomes purified and develops the adhikar for Brahman Diksha. And when he has Brahman Diksha, then he can engage in Murti Puja. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Archanam Padasevanam Archanam Archanam Vandanam. So Archanam is one of the Navavida, nine limbs of devotion, worshipping the Murti. And because he's already pavitra, he's already somewhat purified after to be Brahman initiated. And when he touches the deity of the Lord, it's told here in Vishnu Dharmottara that all his desires become fulfilled. So then he becomes because this is a great benediction and boon to engage in Murti Puja, to do deity worship. If one is faithful, if one has Shraddha, and actually believes. Here there's two qualifications. If one has these two qualifications, when he engages in deity worship, then it has tremendous effect. Actually, his devotional desires get fulfilled very quickly. And the two qualifications are that pavitram and shraddha, that he has faith. First of all, he's purified, and we described something of the preliminary activities of submission and humble service, which purify the candidate before Diksha. So that's pavitram. And Shraddha, the faithful aspect, is that the devotee, due to his previous practices and his birth, he believes, he firmly believes the Shraddha, that the deity, the Archamurti, is a representation of Krishna. That Krishna is really here. Krishna is really the deity. So, and he doesn't believe it, that this is an idol. Of course, it's very difficult because in the West, we are brainwashed by our particular religious viewpoints and by the environment that we grow up in, that statues that are called icons or idols, do not keep any false images or something like this before of the Lord. Different religions, they have some presentation. So we come into Krishna consciousness and we see Jagannath with this looks like some type of voodoo doll or some type of Easter Island, some kind of funny sculpture from some ancient pagan culture of the world, and these big wooden form of the Lord. And so then we might think, oh, this is an idol. But if one actually has faith, then when he touches the deity. So here Rupa Goswami is glorifying the benefit of touching the deity. And there's some, in this other edition, there's some mention here also. The next one, of course, that was touching the deity, which is a very specialized privilege that only a few intimate servants of the Lord can receive, that blessing to touch the Murti form of the Lord. For example, in Los Angeles community where we joined, there were about 400 devotees at the time, and there were only about 8 pujaris. So 8 pujaris were out of 400 had that special fortune, really, to touch the deity form of the Lord. It's actually quite a fortune. And you see that those devotees that are very, very faithful and very pure-hearted, they make tremendous advancement by worshipping the deity. I think a classic example, which is quite obvious to most members of ISKCON, are the two twin brothers in Mayapur, Chananivas and Pankajangri. They're my godbrothers. And they're born like the rest of us. They're from England, and did everything that English people do, which is everything. And then somehow they, by their good fortune, they received diksha from a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. And from very early in their career, they were engaged in serving Radha Madhava in Mayapur. So now that service has been going on about 35 years. So it appears that they made quite a bit of spiritual advancement by being in such close association with the Murti form of the Lord and being pure in heart and having complete faith in the transcendental identity of the Murti form. So they're living amongst us. You can say they're examples of this very point of the scriptures. And there are other devotees that, of course, engage in deity worship, and they may even become... I mean, I know one devotee who was a head pujari, and he was engaged in so much deity worship, but he was not very pure in heart. So despite that intimacy of being with the deity and touching the deity repeatedly, his material desires were too strong, and he went off into material activities. So these two requirements, pavitram and shraddha. So now this is the next principle, which is number 41 of the 64 limbs of devotion, is to Sri Murti Darshanam. Vrindavane tu Govindam ye pashyanti vasundare nate yamapuram dyanti yanti punya kritam gatim. This is Sri Murti Darshan. I think that's, everyone can understand that. It means to see the deity, to see the Sri Murti, the form of the Lord. So we can all have that fortune, because we have two eyes, and that is our good fortune, that with these two eyes we can behold the deity form of the Lord and the form of the devotees of the Lord. I know there's one devotee, he had told me once that on Ekadasi, after he does parikrama of Vrindavan, he's living in Vrindavan, in the morning he does parikrama of Vrindavan and takes Yamuna Snan and takes darshan of deities, then he walks around the parikrama mark backwards. He goes backwards, you know, backwards, like opposite way. Like, there's this way, then go back. Go forward, backward. So he goes backwards for some time on chanting japa. And I said, why do you do that? And he said, I don't do completely, but I just go so I can see the faces of the yatris and the faces of the devotees engaged in devotional service. I thought this was a very interesting viewpoint, that he wanted to see what is the face of a devotee, what is the concentration on their face, what is the absorption in their face when they're walking on the parikrama, chanting mala, meditating on the Lord with certain intensity and certain humility, and there's a certain mood of petition and seriousness and determination in their faces. It's all very impressive. It's impressive. it makes an impression on the mind and even in the citta. If it's something deep, it penetrates the mind and registers in the citta. There's man, buddhi, hankar, then there's citta. Citta is that fine, very thin layer between the atma and the ego. It's called citta. So this is where the samskaras are recorded. So it's something very deep and impressionable, then it becomes embedded or etched in the citta. So this is called bhakti sanskara or bhog samskara. So he sees and then he thinks, oh, if you see, there's seeing, and then there's identification. Identification is the play of the actions of the ego, hankara. So identification means, I like this. I like this or I don't like this. I love this or I hate this. So if you love something and like something very much, it makes a samskara. If you dislike something and you hate something, it makes a samskara. Very a strong impression, the citta, and that forces you to act when you see that object. So some people, they hate different racial groups. The British hate the Irish, or the Irish hate the English, or the Jews hate the Arabs. They have these hatreds, blood-deep hatreds. The Jews hate the Arabs hate the Jews. The Negroes hate the white people, all these kind of things. The Muslims hate the Hindus. So these are sanskaras, and they're passed down in the life after life, and they're inside of our citta. So Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, we should be free, we should be free. Everyone's, of course, studied Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna is saying that the transcendentalist should be free from attraction and aversion. Attraction and aversion. This is Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj's translation. And what it's actually saying is one should be free from rag and dvesh. This is the Sanskrit words, rag and dvesh. Rag and dvesh, to put it in easy terms, means love and hate. Dvesh means envy. Envy means hate. And rag means attachment. You can't love someone without being attached to them. And you can't hate someone without being envious of them. So they go together. Envy and hate, love and attachment. That's why the wife or the consort of Kamadev is called Rati. Rati. Kamadev and Rati, like Mr. and Mrs. Mr. and Mrs. Gupta. So the Mr. is Mr. Kamadev. Kam means lust or love or whatever. Let's say lust. To have, to hold, to like, to love. Kam. And Rati means attachment. We become attached to the objects we love. We become attached to the people we love. So Kam and Rati. Or you can say Rag and Dvesh. So Krishna says one must be steady, must be free from rag and dvesh. Because if we have dvesh or hatred, it makes samskara and we take rebirth. And if we have rag, it makes samskara and we take rebirth. So this 41st principle is seeing the deity. Vrindavane tu govindam ye pashyanti vasundare te yama puram yanti yanti punya kritam gatim. Oh, Vasundara. Vasundari means, it's a name for Mother Earth. Mother Earth has many different names, like Dharani. Dharani means one who holds up everybody, because we're all being held up by the earth. She's called Dharani, like Haladar, one who holds the plow. A Muralidhar, one who holds the Murali. So, Dharani. Dharani, there's one Shastra called the Dharani Katyayani Samvad, and this is quoted in Chaitanya Mango by Lochan Das Thakur. Mother Dharani, or Mother Bhumi, sometimes we hear Bhumi, Bhuloka, Om Bhur Bhuvaswa. So Mother Bhumi is also called Vasundari, Goddess Earth. O Earth, those who see Govinda in Vrindavan do not go to the city of Yama, but they achieve pure bhakti, the goal of all punya. So Yamapuri, or Yamapuri means Yamaloka. We don't go there. Like Govinda Pashya. Govinda, so every night we're seeing Govinda. And moreover, like they say, they say that we're taking darshan. We say, "Oh, I'm going to the." Did you take darshan of the deities? Did you go to the temple and take darshan? And the devotees say, "Yes, I took darshan." But our guardians, our well-wishers, they tell us that actually we can't see Krishna with these material eyes. So darshan means to see. So we're not really seeing Krishna. We're seeing what we understand. And what we understand is this statue is made of marble, or this statue is made of wood, or whatever. So we're not really pashyanti. We're just seeing. But when we're going for darshan, we're actually being seen. Krishna is seeing us. He's glancing at us, and his glance is pavitra. Pavitra. So when he looks at us, then when we go before Krishna, it gives Krishna a chance to look at us and purify us with his sudarshan, with his auspicious glance. So we need it. As they say, we need all the purification we can get. And this is a very powerful means of purification. To stand before the deity of the Lord with our hearts in our hand and prayers of petition or prarthana or dainya bhotika, prayers of humility, entreaty and submission on the tip of our tongue. If we go before the deity, we want to do service. We either want to offer prayers or we want to dance before the deity or glorify the deity. And then the deity takes notice and he says, "All right, good boy, good girl, very nice." And that glance is a blessing. It's ashirvad. It's called lochan kripa. It's in Nectar Devotion. There's different ways by which one can become blessed. Lochan kripa. Merciful glance. Oh my Lord, please bestow your merciful glance upon me. Krishna kripa kataksha. There's Radha kripa kataksha, and there's also another stavaraj. There's called Krishna kripa kataksha stavaraj, where there's many beautiful verses glorifying Krishna. So, kripa kataksha bhajanam, right? Krishna kripa katakshanam. So we go before the Lord and say, "My Lord, I'm standing here. I'm standing naked before you." Naked means not the absence of clothes. Naked means the absence of ego. This is the true meaning of naked. It's a naked or nanga. Means I, my Lord, I am akinchan. I have nothing. What do I have? You see me? Do you see me, my Lord? O Govindadev, O Rasvihari, O Gopinath, do you see me? What do you see? Is there anything to see in me? Is there anything good to see in me? Do you find anything in me which you can utilize in your service? I doubt it. I really doubt it. Because if I look at me, I look in the mirror, and the mirror of my mind is telling me that I am worthless, that I am insignificant, that I am most fallen and most contaminated and most degraded and most unworthy and disqualified from even the slightest distant relationship with you. But you are so kind, you are agreeing to look at me. I mean, you could imagine. Just imagine if you were in your house sitting there and some rakshasa kicked down the door. Da! And came in the door and had huge yellow fangs and sunken reddish eyeballs and this straw red hair coming out and they're just, you know, the grossest, ugliest looking body you could ever imagine, like a monster from the television or some kind of Halloween creature on Trick or Treat or whatever they call it. And he comes in your living room and says, You see, you go, and you close your eyes and you run out the back door and jump through the window or something to avoid seeing such a horrible sight, such a grotesque figure, a ghastly scene. But now now switch it around. Now Krishna is in his living room. The temple is his living room. He lives there. It's his mandir. It's his house. The house of the Lord. The mandir is called the house of the Lord. It exists for his pleasure. In traditional mandir, there's a darshan room, there's a bhoga room, there's a shayangar, a bhojangar. There's many different rooms, and the deity is moved. He's moved to one room and he gives darshan. Then when it's time to eat, he has his dining room. Like in Radharaman, the dining room and the darshan room. So when we come before the deities, we think that one monster has come into the living room of the Lord. And we're looking at the, and but the Lord is so merciful, he doesn't say, "Ah, look at this grotesque figure. Look at this ugly personality. This Rakshasa has come in my living room. Ah, Radharani, let's get out of here. Oh, quick, close your eyes. Don't look. Such a ghastly person. So much greed and lust and envy." But Krishna doesn't run off the altar and hide in a gufa with Radharani when we come in to take darshan. He should. He really should. But he's so mercifully and compassionately just stands there, continues to play his flute. Of course, he chuckles a little bit and laughs to see such funny creatures dance into his temple room. And he goes like this to Radharani. He's playing the flute and he goes, Krishna's like this, and he says, "Radharani," like somebody, you're with somebody on somewhere and you want to get your sister or brother's attention without, you go like this and you hit them in the side and he's like, check it out. Over there. Then they look over there, and, oh yeah. So then Krishna goes like this to Radharani, "Hey, check, look at this guy." So they laugh. They get a good laugh. Radha and Krishna get a good laugh, bestowing their glance of mercy on us. Lochan Kripa. So this is the 41st limb of devotion, Sri Murti Darshan, seeing the deity. But as I mentioned, unless we have prema, we cannot. The deity means God. We're not talking about a figure. The deity, it's not a deity or figurine or an icon. Icon, figurine, idol. The deity is God, Krishna, Purushottam. So Brahmaji, he could never see the deity. He could only hear some message standing millions of miles away at the edge of the vast, vast, unlimited ocean of Kshirasagar. He could stand on the shore, and by telepathy and meditation, he could go into samadhi, and he could enter the heart of the Lord, Shirdakshay Vishnu, and convey to the heart of the Lord, "My dear Lord, there is trouble in my universe. There is disturbance in my universe. Please, can you come to my aid?" Then the Lord would communicate. He would send an SMS message. He would send a message to Brahma. Tene rida yad Brahma yad adikavye. He would send, Shirdakshay Vishnu would send a message into the heart of Brahma, standing millions and millions of miles away across the ocean. This Kshirasagar is like millions of kilometers wide. Brahma can't see anything. He doesn't have the slightest idea what Shirdakshay Vishnu looks like. He gets the message, but at least he has the adhikar to receive an SMS message from Shirdakshay Vishnu. No one else has internet connection there. None of the other demigods have any, they don't have any provider. What do they call it, provider or something? Service provider. But Brahma, because his service is the biggest, he's given one provider, one connection, whatever you call it. So Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Varun, they all run to Brahma and say, "Listen, you have internet, can we go use your internet? We're having a problem here in our web space. You know, in our universal space, there's a lot of static. There's a lot of problem. Hiranyakashipu is really disturbing my reception." So Brahma can get the message and then convey the good news to all the devatas. But then, by virtue of his intense austerity and by the mercy of the Lord, finally, some love came into his eyes. And when that love came into his eyes, he was able to glance briefly, get a brief glance into the Goloka. And then he said, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksade Variyeshu Vilokayanti Yam Sham Sundaram Achintya Gunasarupam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. When some ointment came in his eyes, then he could trans
He could travel millions of miles across the universe and actually see Chintamani Prakatasadma Shukapla Riksha Lakshavritesha Surabhirabhi Paliantam Lakshmi Sahasra Satasambrahma Sevyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamham Bhajami. So this is what's required to see Sri Murti Darshanam. What's required is to have Premanjana, the ointment of love. When we have the ointment of love, then we can see the Lord, we can hear the Lord, we can feel the Lord, we can smell the Lord. So this is, of course, this is a devotional principle to go regularly to the temple of the Lord to look at the Sri Murti. And Jiva Goswami comments on this verse that Rupa Goswami, after describing the effect of seeing different forms of the Lord Vishnu, here he specifically mentions Govinda. Because in this translation, I mean, actually it says, one who sees Govinda in Vrindavan, Vrindavane to Govindam, ye pashyanti vasundare. Because we heard that there's deities everywhere in India, and nowadays there's deities everywhere around the world. And by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas who are continuing this desire of Lord Chaitanya to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, now there's deities everywhere, every country, Peru, Chile, China, Fiji, Japan, Australia. It's amazing, it's unbelievable. Russia, Turkey, Iran, Egypt, Finland, Israel, everywhere there's Murtis, deities of the Lord. But there's some specification here. Although it's very purifying and it's very beneficial and it's enjoined to go everywhere, wherever you are, and see the local deity to take darshan, here Rupa Goswami is making some specification. He's saying Vrindavane to Govindam, like he says, Vrindavane, like we say, Radha Kundame, Radhe Radhe, Shama Kundame, Radhe Radhe. Like there's that popular song, everyone's been brainwashed. Varsane Wali Radhe, Shri Radhe Radhe Radhe, Shama Kundame, Govinda Kundame. Everyone has pretty much got that one in their veins by now. So Vrindavane means in Vrindavan, if you see Govinda, now you have to go to Jayapur to see that Govinda that Rupa Goswami is talking about. He's talking about that Govinda, which means his Govinda, Govinda Ji, Govinda Dev. Govinda Dev Ki Jai. And he's saying there's some special mercy that if one sees this Govinda in Vrindavan, then he doesn't go to Yamapuri. He stays forever in Vrindavan. What to speak if one sees Govinda in Radhakund? Because Govinda had pastimes in different places. He first manifested in Vrindavan and Govindastali in Gomatatila at the site of the Yogapit. This is the Ratri Lila Yogapit of Vrindavan, which is on the top of a small hillock which rises like a turtle's back rising from the banks of the Yamuna to a slightly high point. It's called Govindastali. And there, on a jeweled asan, Radha Govinda sit down and receive the artik before the beginning of the rasa dance. And this artik and this setting of Govindastali or Yogapit is described in invocatory prayers of Krishna's Kaviraj. Divyad Brindaranya Kaupa Jumadad Srimad Ratnagara Sim Asanasto Srimad Srila Radha Govinda Devo Preshta Alibi Sevyamano Smarami. I should do Smaran. I should perform Govinda Smaran. I should remember Govinda at the Yogapit, sitting beside his beloved Radharani and surrounded by the Preshta Alibi. Alibi means, in Sanskrit, Alibi means honeybees. It also means gopis, the alis. Ali, Preshta Alibi. Preshta means very dear. Mukunda Preshta, Krishna Preshta. Namom Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swaminiti Namane. So Prabhupada is Krishna Preshta, and the Lalita Sakhi is Krishna Preshta. Radharani is Krishna Preshta. Preshta Alivi Sevyamana Smarami. I should meditate on the various services that the Gopikas render to Radha Govinda at the Yogapit. There's Yogapit in Nandagaon. This is the Pratakal Yogapit at Nandagaon at Gupta Kund, which is presently more popularly known as Brindakund. And the front side, and just directly behind it, is Gupta Kund, the site of the worship of Radha and Krishna to begin the day. All the sakis gather there in a clandestine way, and they worship Radha Govinda Yugal before Krishna goes out with the cows. And they also meet there and have wonderful pastimes. And there's Madhyankal Yogapit, which is in Lita Sakis Kunj, and the Sangam of Radha Kund and Shama Kund. And here, Krishna, all the gopis worship Radha and Krishna before the midday pastimes. Then at conclusion of the day, in Ratri Leela, or Nisha Leela, the Yogapit is at Govindastali. So, in this verse, he's saying, Vrindavane tu Govindam Pashyanti Vasundari. Vasundari, Mother Earth, is saying, oh, don't you know? Listen, if you go to Vrindavan, and you go to the Yogapit, and you see Radha Govinda there, then you'll never ever go to see you'll never see Yamaraj, you'll never go to Yamapuri, you'll always live in Madhupuri. There's Yamapuri and Madhupuri. Madhupuri means a sweet city. Puri means city, village, and Madhu means honey. Honey, sweet city. Thank you for visiting Madhupuri. Please come again. Like when you travel on the road, they have these signs, welcome to nowhere land. And then you enter nowhere land and do nothing. Then after some useless time, you leave nowhere land. And when you're leaving nowhere land, there's a sign that says, thank you for visiting nowhere land. Please come again. Have you ever seen on the highways? So you go to nowhere land, do nothing, and waste your time, and then leave. But Vasundhari, Mother Earth, is saying, welcome to Madhupuri. And please don't leave here. Stay here forever, gazing at Govinda's face. So if you gaze at Govinda's face, there's no need to say goodbye, please come again. Because there's no rebirth for one who dies remembering Govinda's face. Yam yam vapi smran bhavam tyatra yanti kalevaram. So, janma karma chameda vyam evam yovati tatvata tyaktvam devam punar janma nayati mamati sorjana punar janana vidyate. So one who dies remembering the face of Govinda, 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 he or she will never see the face of Yamaraj, never go to Yamapuri, but live forever and ever in Madhupuri, Sridham Vrindavan. Madhupuri means Mathura, Vrindavan. Of all the different forms of the deity Vigraha of Vishnu, specifically Rupa Goswami, overwhelmed with feelings of devotion to the Lord of his own choice, which means overwhelmed with love for his personal Ishtadev. The special significance of the Supreme Lord himself in person manifested in the Archivigraha of Sri Govindadev. He says, this is the end of all pious people. This is set because it says here, punya kritam gatim. Because this is what acharyas do. They dissect the Sanskrit. They take it all apart and unravel it, then put it all back together again and give a very complete and whole picture of the verse. So piece by piece, it says, so this is a part of the verse, punya kritam gatim. So this means, gatim means the goal, the end, the conclusion, the final point. And then it says, punya kritam, of activities done by pious activities, or good deeds done by good people. So here the phrase, to attain the end of pious people, refers to the supreme end of all pious activities, which is nothing but pure bhakti alone. So yamapuram yanti yanti punyam kritam gatim. So if someone goes, Vrindavane to Sri Govinda Darshanam. If one goes to Vrindavan and has darshan of Govinda, this is the most pious activity he could ever do. This is the supreme end of all good deeds. There couldn't be a better deed than this. And the crematorium in Delhi, in South Delhi, there's one cremation ground area. And there's a wall around that place, and it says on the outside of the wall, do one good deed a day, No, do one good deed today before it's too late. Very good sense of humor. This is a sign in Hindi and English outside on the wall of the cremation ground. Do one good deed today before it's too late. In other words, before you come here and get fried and burned up. So do something good. So punya kritam means good deed. So the best deed, the best thing we could do for us, ourselves, or the most pious thing. What are punya krita? What is punya karma? Punya karma means digging wells so people can get water. Punya karma means putting chhatras or putting places for people to sleep on the side of the road, some little shelter, a little rooftop to protect them from the rain and wind. And pious activities means anadan, to distribute grains. And pious activities means pialdan, or panidan, to distribute water. And pious activities means to build a school for poor people so they get education. It's called vidyadan. It's all punya. But the end, the gati, the end of all punya, because punya, where does it end? It ends in death. When you die, your punya finishes, and you get the punya fal, which means you take another birth. So any good deeds you do, you get good result, but you get rebirth to eat your fruits. But if this is the end of, this is the supreme end, the paramgati of all good deeds, is to see Govinda. Because if you have Govinda darshanam, there's no more repeated birth and death. Punya janam na vidyate, Krishna tells Arjuna. So this is the supreme end of all pious activities. So what is that supreme end? By seeing Govinda, then you attain pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti. And shuddha bhakti brings you to the realm of Krishna, eternal life. Vishnu Chakravarti says that to make the earthly-minded people inclined to bhakti, Rupa Goswami has mildly said that one shall attain the ends of all pious persons by looking at the vigra of Govinda Dev in Vrindavan. But in fact, bhava bhakti in Govindaji is the foremost end for the desireless devotees. And this, Chakravarti observes, has been subsequently explained by the author, Sri Rupa Goswami himself. So the point is that Rupa Goswami is trying to encourage everyone. Oh, you're absorbed in pious activities, all kinds of good karmas. Well, forget it. Just drop all your good karmas. Stop wasting time doing punya and punya kritam. Come to Vrindavan. Just run to Vrindavan. Come to Vrindavan. Fly to Vrindavan. Walk to Vrindavan. And when you come to Vrindavan, don't waste time in Loi Bazaar. But run to Govindaji Mandir. Run to Govindaji Mandir and drink deeply the sweet darshan of his smiling lotus face, and try to hear his flute and pray for his eternal service and become captivated by his mercy, become enchanted by his sweetness, become enticed and delighted by his charm. And if you do this, if you go and take Srimurti Darshanam, specifically Sri Govinda Darshanam, then that there's no better punya than this. So it's a sales pitch. It's a sales pitch. He's saying, oh, don't do this. Don't do what you're doing. Take what I have. Don't buy that inferior product. Buy my product. Hey, why are you buying those shoes? You're paying $10 for those shoes. Those are no good. Look at mine. Mine are only $8. And they're it'll give you better wear and tear or whatever. So Govindaji is trying to... Rupa Goswami is beating the drum loud, very loud, beating a big kettle drum. Listen, everyone. Don't you know about my Govindaji? Don't you know about my Ishtadev? He's the Abhideya Thakur. He will engage you in devotional service. He will free you from the service of Maya. And once we're engaged in devotional service, it will progress to pure bhakti and we'll go back home, back to Godhead. Don't waste time with punya. So this is what he's saying. This is the meaning of Sri Govinda Darshanam. Or as it says, Sri Murti Darshanam, which is the 41st limb of devotion. To emphasize how a very simple process of devotion, which is the 41st limb of devotion, it's not very difficult as long as we have two eyes and a touch of desire. All we have to do is walk into the nearest temple and get purified by seeing the Murti, Sri Murti Darshanam. But if we want to get pure bhakti, aside from the greatest purity, the greatest punya is to be attracted to God, because that punya will lead one to liberation, that purity, that punya. So that can happen by any deity, seeing any deity anywhere. But especially, Rupa Goswami is trying to emphasize the supreme efficacy and power of seeing his Ishtadev in Vrindavan. Because there's a couple things working here. First of all, there is the Surup Shakti, or the combined Sanani Shakti potency of Vrindavan, working to benefit the Jiva. So coming to Vrindavan means contacting Sandini Shakti. And seeing Govinda in Vrindavan means to see Govinda in Nitya Lila. Because in Vrindavan, Krishna is engaged in Nitya Lila. And in Nitya Lila, Krishna is absorbed in his own internal energy, Surup Shakti, Antaranga Shakti. So when we come to Vrindavan and see Govindaji, we are actually being supported and contacting Sandini, Ladini, and Samvit Shakti all at once. So by seeing Govindaji in Vrindavan, then we can get the supreme end of all piety, which is not only purification and elevation and improvement, but we can get prema bhakti, pure bhakti, simply by this one limb of devotion. Any one of these 64 limbs of devotion can give one prema bhakti. As Prabhupada was glorified in Lilamrita, that unlike other children of his age, who would spend their time playing cricket, like you see now if you live in India, all the young children, they play cricket, they play what they call football, and they play cricket and football and these type of things. And they waste their youthful energy in these useless sports. But the Lilamrita glorifies A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that he would spend his youthful days going to the Mulaks. Mulak was some wealthy family in his neighborhood. They were some distant relative. Prabhupada would go to their family temple of Radha Govindaji, very small murti of Radha Govinda. And he would stand before Radha Govinda for hours together. Usually young boys are like monkeys, or even old boys for that matter. But young boys are extremely monkey-like. And you watch a monkey. If you look at a monkey, you can count on your fingers how long he'll stay in that spot. He's sitting, oh, look at that monkey. And you turn to tell your friends, you know, this is a funny monkey. No, I don't see it. Oh, he's gone. Because now you see him, now you don't, because they're like the personification of Rajagun. So young boys are like monkeys, always jumping, playing, running everywhere uselessly, meaninglessly. But Prabhupada, being a great devotee that he is, he would stand there for hours together and just admire the beautiful form of Radha Govindaji have some exchange with Radha Govindaji, which we can only imagine what was going on between the two of them. So this is rather unusual childhood. So Prabhupada himself, from the very beginning of his life, he had a very intimate relationship, specifically with Radha Govinda, because we know that Prabhupada has a very intimate relationship with Rupa Goswami and Rupa Manjari, and his Manjari Sarup. So that was already indicated from the very earliest childhood, because it's not by coincidence that he gravitated to a Radha Govinda temple. Everything has its significance. It's not by coincidence that he did his bhajan stalis at the feet of Rupa Goswami in Sevakunj. And it's not by coincidence that Prabhupada said, my eternal home is Sevakunj. It's not coincidence. It's all connected. And those that have the relationship, they can see the synthesis and see the unity of all the aspects of Prabhupada's life, which indicate that he was a perfect member of the Rupanuga Dara. And he has come into this world to carry on the work of Rupa Goswami. And he's very, very, one of the very first books he produced was Nectar of Devotion, to broadcast to the world the sublime teachings of his guru in Madhur Lila and Madhur Bhav. His guru is Rupa Manjari. And to broadcast to the world, he published Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita. So Prabhupada was the personification of the 41st principle of devotion, Sri Murti Darshanam, and specifically, of course, he was seeing Govinda in Calcutta, but then he would often go to the Govindaji temple in Vrindavan. When we were interviewing for the Lilamrita, we met the Pujaris at Govindaji, some Bengali gentlemen, Brahmins. They said, yes, your Guruji used to come regularly to Govindaji, because previously his first, which is not mentioned, Lilamrita, but the first bhajan kucha that Prabhupada stayed in was by the Rangaji temple near Brahmakund. And from there, regularly from that place, he was going every day to Govindaji and Radharaman. Then later he shifted to the Vamshi Gopal temple, which is described in the Lilamrita. From Vamshi Gopal, he came to Radha Damodar. But he was doing Madhukari in several Brahmins' houses around by Brahmakund, and regularly going to Govindaji temple, not only as a child, but as a sannyasi, living in Vrindavan, doing Vrindavan Bhajan, which is one poem he wrote, Vrindavan Bhajan. And when Prabhupada would go to Govindaji Mandir, he would stand there before Govindaji, and they said that ever so beautifully. He said he would hold his hands up in the air and he would dance back and forth. So he was practicing the Swami step way back in Vrindavan. He was getting the choreography down so he could introduce it to New York, the famous, now famous Swami step of Srila Prabhupada. So he was he first debuted this dance step to Govindaji in the temple of Vrindavan. And they said that he would raise his hands and very beautifully he would sing prayers, he would recite prayers from Brahma Samhita for the pleasure of Govindaji. Right? Angani yasya sakalen. So we can only, so knowing that, that this is the heart and mind of Prabhupada, when he started his ISKCON, what is one of the things that he instituted? Oh, we have Sringar Darshan. Every day when they have Darshan, the deities in every temple around the world, Govinda Madi Purusham. And so everything that we're doing in ISKCON is exactly what Prabhupada did in his bhajan in Vrindavan. He himself was chanting the same prayers. And before Prabhupada went to Vrindavan and went to begin his preaching mission, where did he spend 7 days? He went to Jayapur. He spent 7 days living at Govindaji in one small cottage on the complex there. And that small house is there. That was Prabhupada's last bhajan kutir in India before he started his preaching mission. He spent 7 days there all day long in the temple of Govindaji praying and circumambulating, praying to the Sri Murti of Rupa Goswami. Then from there he went to Bombay and he begged with the mercy of Rupa Goswami and Radha Govindaji, Govindadev. He sat on the doorstep of the Srimati Maharaj's office, finally got an appointment. He got a ticket. He returned to Delhi to get his P form and passport. From Delhi, he went to Calcutta. He got on the Jaladuta, and then the rest you know very well. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Radha Govinda Dev ki jai.